Good morning. How is everybody this morning? Are you ready to worship God? Are you ready to give God some glory this morning for who He is? Father, we just come into Your house this morning, and first and foremost, we ask God that we would put everything that's inside of us aside. We would lay it at the altar. And Father God, that we would remember that this morning, when we come into Your house, Father, it is about You. It is about who You are. And I pray, God, that we would offer up a sacrifice of praise, God, that would bless You, that would honor You and bring glory to You this morning, and that You would have Your way, and that, Holy Spirit, You might be able to move throughout the aisles, around the front of this church, out in the sides of this church, in the back, in the front, wherever, in Jesus' precious name. And the church said, there's a miracle in this room, and it's got my name on it. Come on, come on. I said there's a miracle in this room, and it's got my name on it. There's a healing in this room, and it's here for me. Come on, come on! Yes! Yes! There's a breakthrough in this room, and it's got my name on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Amen. I said, there's a miracle in this room, and it's got Your name on it. Yes, it does. There's a healing in this room, and it's here for me. There's a breakthrough in this room, and it's got David's name on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I said, I'm gonna put a praise on it. One more time, I said, I'm gonna put a praise on it. Come on, let's go there this morning. Come on, put your hands together this morning and let's bless God, because He is worthy. If you want that breakthrough this morning, you got to go after it, because it's already here. Amen. Here we go. There's a miracle in this room with my name on it. There's a breakthrough in this room, and it's there's a healing in this room with my name on it. I'm gonna put a praise. Come on, church. Come on. Here we go. I'm gonna put a praise on it. Yes, I am. Sing it again. I'm gonna put a praise. What you gonna do this morning? I said I'm going to put a praise, praise on it. Here we go, let's go to the top and sing it again. There's a miracle in this room with my name on. I said there is a healing in this room, and it's
in this room. It's got my name on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I said I'm gonna put a praise on it this morning. The Bible says we can lay down that gloomy spirit and put on a garment of praise this morning.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Yes, I am. I said I'm gonna put a praise. This morning
I'm gonna put praise on.
Yeah, here we go. Come on now. Come on, come on, church. Let's go there this morning. I said you're gonna put a praise on it this morning. I said I'm gonna put a praise on it this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a breakthrough this morning. Here, let's sing it. Come on. Come on, here we go. What you gonna do this morning?
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
I said I'm gonna put a praise on it this morning.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Let's put a praise on it.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
I want you to look at your neighbor this morning and tell him you're putting a praise on your miracle this morning. Some praise this morning. Hallelujah. You are worthy, Father, of our praise.
Yes.
You are worthy of our praise. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, there's a river flowing this morning. I said there is a river flowing this morning. We just got to jump into it, get our feet wet just a little bit. Amen. Hallelujah. It's time to get soaking wet. There is a river where goodness flows. There is a fountain that drowns sorrow. There is an ocean deeper than fear. The tide is rising, rising. There is a current stirring deep inside. It's overflowing from the heart of God. The flood of heaven crashing over us. The tide is rising, rising. Come on, sing.
Bursting, bursting up from the ground. We feel it bursting, bursting, bursting up from the ground. Feel it now, we come alive in river.
Yeah!
We come alive in river. We come alive in the river. We come alive in the river.
There is a river where goodness flows. There is a fountain that drowns sorrow. There is an ocean deeper than fear. The tide is rising, rising. There is a current deep inside. It's overflowing from the heart of God. The flood of heaven crashing over us. The tide is rising, rising. Bursting, bursting up from the ground. We feel it now.
Bursting. ground. When we feel it now, we come alive in the river.
Yeah, we come alive.
We come alive in the river.
I'm coming alive.
We come alive in the river. We come alive in the river.
Hallelujah. Oh, just to jump in a little bit. Just to jump in the river a little bit and start to get your feet wet just a tiny bit this morning. Tiny bit, let the Spirit of God overflow on you this morning. Because there is a river of God that flows from the throne of heaven. It's coming to consume you this morning. Amen. Come on, sing verse 2 with me.
There is a current and deep inside, it's overflowing from the heart of God, the fount of heaven crashing over us. The tide is rising, rising, bursting, bursting up from the ground. We feel it now, bursting, bursting up from the ground. We feel it now. We come alive in the river.
Oh, I come alive.
We come alive in the river.
I said I'm coming alive.
We come alive in the river. We come alive in the river.
Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Glory. We worship you this morning, Father, for you alone are worthy of glory and honor. Come on, sing, break open prison doors.
Break open prison doors. Set all the captives free. Spring up a well. Spring up a well. Spring up a well in me.
Come on, sing it again. Break open.
Break open prison doors. Set all the captives free. Spring up a well. Spring up a well, spring up a well in me.
Nothing can stop,
nothing can stop this joy.
No,
we're dancing in the street.
Come on, you gotta dance in the street this morning.
Spring up a well,
yeah.
Spring up a well, spring up a well in me. We come alive,
we come alive in the river.
We come alive in the river. We come alive in the river. We come alive in the river.
Sing it again. We come alive.
We come alive.
Yes, we come alive.
We come alive in the river. We come alive in the river.
Sing, spring up a well. Spring up a well. Hallelujah.
Spring up a well.
Come on. Some of us need that well.
Spring up a well. Spring up a well.
answer me from where the thunder hides. I can't outrun this heart I'm tethered to. With every step I collide with you.
Like a tidal wave crashing over me, rushing into me, here. Your love is fierce, like a hurricane that I can't escape, rushing through the atmosphere. Your love is fierce.
You cannot fail. The only thing I found is through it all, you never let me down. You don't hold back, relentless in pursuit. And every turn I come face to face with you.
Like a tidal wave crashing over me, rushing into me. Your love is fierce, like a hurricane that I can't explain, tearing through the atmosphere. Your love is fierce.
You surround. Me down, you seek me out. How could I be lost when you have called me found? Come on, you chase me down, yeah. You seek me out. How could I be lost when you have called me found? You chase me, you chase me down. Seek me out. How could I be lost when you have? I said you chase me. You chase me down. You seek me.
Thank you for your love, Father. I thank you for your love this morning. Jesus, your love, it's never ending. It knows no bounds. Jesus, Jesus.
I couldn't run from your
couldn't run from your arms.
Sing it again.
I couldn't run.
Hallelujah.
I couldn't run
from your presence.
Chains and the world had a hold on me. My heart was a stone, I was covered in shame till you came for me. I couldn't run from your presence.
I couldn't run
from your presence. I couldn't run.
Come on, say it.
A fire. Ooh, it was a fire deep in my soul. I'll never be the same. I stepped out of the dark and into the light. When you call
One more time. Let me hear you, church.
I couldn't run from His presence. I couldn't run from His arms.
Sing it again.
I couldn't run from His presence. I couldn't run from His arms.
God is this morning. There are people in this room that are running. Now you can be running in various ways, and I felt like I heard the Spirit of God say to me, all you have to do is stop. It's that simple. And let me make this clear. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're running and that you're in a backslidden state. You could be that this morning. You could be in a backslidden state and you could be running. But there are other things. And you're running and you're running and you're running and you're running and you're weary and you're worn out and you're tired. And the Spirit of God is saying to you this morning, I love you. All you have to do is stop. I said, all you have to do is stop. We live in a world, we live in a society today that does not stop. It doesn't stop. You lay your phone on the bedstand beside you because you use it for an alarm clock, many of us, and it makes noise in the middle of the night. It doesn't stop. It's so smart now that it changes the time for us. And the Spirit of God is saying, quit your running. It's not your strength, but it's mine. It's not your strength, but it's mine. It's my strength that when your feet hit the ground in the morning and you take that first fresh breath of air that you are conscious of taking, I give that to you. The Spirit of God says, I breathe my life into you. I breathe my life into you. It's not your own strength, but it's my strength. But we fall into a trap, and daily we run. We run. And God says, my presence is there. I just want to engulf you. The only thing I can think of it is like a mother hen hiding over its chicks. Covering them up with wings. And God wants to reach and stretch His arms out over us and cover us. Protect us. Give us rest for our weariness. Amen, church. I said, give you rest for your weariness. I couldn't run from your arms. I couldn't run from your presence. I couldn't run from your arms. I couldn't run. I couldn't run. Come on, give Jesus a hand clap this morning.
Yes,
love on
hallelujah.
Jesus. Love on Jesus. What was exciting is that's what exactly what I was going to get up and say. It's the same Holy Spirit. Amen. I love that. You know, today we can chase after a lot of things, but there's only one that when you catch it, it's worth it all. Amen. His name is Jesus. You know, exactly, Pastor. I was getting up and saying, you know, you can't run from his presence, but the Holy Spirit was saying, yes, you can. There's some of you out there that are running. Allow him to apprehend you. That means stop. Just stop. Stop your foolishness. Because ultimately, you'll catch something you don't want to grab. The Bible says, don't grab an angry dog by the tail because you're going to get bit. Anybody say amen? How many of you have been bit? Amen. How many of you know that's a bad thing? But you know, when you grab a hold of Jesus, what you get is his love. You can't get anything greater than Jesus. And you can grab this whole world, but give me Jesus. Amen. You can lose it all, but if you got Jesus, you got it all. Because you have full access. Turn to someone and say, I got access. Amen. Why don't you go tell five or six folks, I got access today. I've got a hold of Jesus. Come on, tell some folks this morning, I got a hold of Jesus today. The house is full. Please don't sit down. Make sure you say, be friendly to somebody today. Tell them, I got Jesus. Some folks. Michael Donovan, stand up. Go find somebody. You're too friendly to sit down.
Directly tied into your success, and we want to see you successful in your Christian walk. I want to introduce you to Next Steps Level 1. You can attend this Tuesday nights, Wednesday mornings, or Thursday nights for Rock Solid Faith. It is a year-long class that is absolutely life-changing. And then Session 2, Step 2, is marriage, and that's going on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. This will be a series of 8-week classes. We want to encourage you, if you've done Rock Solid Faith, sign up for Step 2. If you haven't got started, get started today. You can go to histabernacle.com and register. You can come right to the hub, or you can email nextsteps@histabernacle for more information.
Hey, HisTab, I've got some exciting news for you. Evangelist Tiff Shuttlesworth is coming here November 20th. He's doing the 9 a.m. service, the 11 a.m. service, and we're even doing a special service here at 6 p.m. Invite your friends and family and don't miss out.
Good morning, everyone. We want to tell you about the three ways that you can give with a credit card. The first way is using your envelope. This is the brand new giving envelope here at His Tabernacle. If you have an old envelope, throw it away. Use this envelope. Fill in the card information completely. We need all of it in order to process your card successfully. The second and easier way to give is using your smartphone. You can go on histabernacle.com, click on Give, and create an online giving profile if you haven't already done so. That way, you can save your card and you will be able to log in each week and give your tithe in that way without having to fill out an envelope. The third, and by far the easiest way, is text to give. Simply text your amount using a dollar sign to the number on the screen. You'll receive a link back in which you click on it, create your giving profile that way, save your card, and then each week you can simply text your amount using the dollar sign to that number and it'll be all done. It's easy to give with a card at His Tabernacle. Thank you so much for your faithful giving.
Test. Oh, we're on. Awesome. There are so many things going on. If you got a bulletin, make sure you get one and read it. If you've noticed as you've gone out into the stores, what is out everywhere? Holiday stuff. So we also are getting prepped for the holiday events. So make sure you sign up to participate with all of those in the foyer today. And in this service, we are giving away a set of the books. So I'm going to give you a heads up right now. Make sure you fill out your connection card real quickly while we're talking and put this in the offering. This is not written directed towards women. This is written for every single person. So it is not exclusive for women. So make sure everyone fills out their connection card today and brings it up in the offering, because we will be drawing a name out of the offering. Yeah, somebody purchased these to be able to give them away in this service for someone. Pastor.
We are excited because it's good to be in the land of the living. My wife and I, we purchased a new home, and we live where there is no cell phone. We do not have a landline, and we do not have internet. It's good coming out of the hole. They were supposed to do the internet last week. That didn't occur. So we're still in the wait mode. So if some of you have been trying to reach us, I had actually one of the local funeral directors trying to reach me this week to do a funeral. And he said, Pastor, I've not been able to reach you. I said, listen, no one has. So if you haven't been able to reach us, understand we've just been in the land of the desolate and the quiet and where the deer and the antelope play. And I cannot wait until the internet arrives. Glory to God. So we are excited because God is good. Amen. You know, people might stink in your life, but God is good. Amen? The Bible says that we do not want to surrender our joy. It's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. And my wife and I made a decision many years ago. Nothing has the right to steal our joy. Nobody, nothing. I refuse to surrender what God gave me. God gave it. Man can't take it away. Amen? We want to welcome all of our guests this morning. I'm not sure, but I do want to give a shout out. My friend from a pastor from Idaho is in Florida on vacation. I'm not sure if he's watching this morning, but I want to give a loud hand clap and a shout to Pastor Monty Sears. I believe he might be watching by live stream. If you are, Pastor Monty, we love you, and we're excited to come meet you and be blessed. Amen. Go out in Idaho where there are like elks and stuff. Praise the Lord. We want to welcome all the guests in the house. If you're a first-time guest at His Tabernacle Family Church, we want you to know we know you're brave. Coming out to a place you've never been before, being in a service that's a little bit more rambunctious, sometimes can be intimidating. So if you're a first-time guest, we want you to know that we applaud you this morning. Thank you for coming. We always encourage you to come a minimum of 3 times. Amen? 3 times. Why is that? The first time, it's like, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. Second time, it's like, oh, that's not too bad. Third time is you can never go back to the quiet church. Amen? So we're trying to make you get ready for heaven. Heaven's not going to be a quiet place. Heaven's going to be exciting. When you see Jesus the very first time, you're going to give him a shout. Come on, give Jesus a shout this morning. You know, you didn't even make the devil nervous on that shout. I said, give God a shout this morning. Amen. If you're a first-time guest, we have a gift for you. We're not going to make you stand, make it weird. So if you're a first-time guest, raise your hand. Someone's coming right to you with a gift because we love you. We want to bless you. Very good. Very good first-time guest over here, over there, right in the middle. There we go. Anybody else? First-time guest? Young lady right there. Hi, how are you? Very good. Young lady right there. Raise your hand just one more time. The young girls, she can't see you. There we go. In the back, we have a young person in the back. Very good. Very good. Guests all over the place. Can we give our... Oh, over on this side. Very good. Can we give our first-time guest... Alan, are you still trying to get a mug? Alan, come to me. I'll give you a free mug. In fact, I'll buy it for you, Alan, because I love you. Amen? Can we give him one more hand clap? I was distracted. Amen. We want to welcome all of our live streamers. Thank you. We're excited that you're online with us today. You are part of the family of God right here in Horse of Heads, New York, right in the middle of this cornfield. We love you, and it is now officially a cornfield. We love you, and we hope that you'll come to the house of God if you're local instead of just watching by live stream. It's always much more exciting in person. Here's my dear wife, Miss Rhonda Spencer.
Amen. You know, the thing that God has just overwhelmed me with is that He is no respecter of persons. And as we sang that song this morning about God's love and compassion, and then Pastor Dave had that word about not running, for every single person in this room, He has that same compassion and love. There's not any one of you that is omitted from that compassion and love. He has it for every single one. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Rapha. He is everything that you need for everyone. But it takes obedience to the word of God. And when the word is spoken forth, stop running. Stop and watch God do awesome things. When we are obedient to the word, and His word talks about our finances, when we're obedient and we honor God with our tithes, He is then Jehovah Jireh, our provider in every area. And we can believe and know that He's going to be our provider, just like He's our Savior, just like He's our healer. He is all of those things. When we are obedient to respond to His word. So this morning, as you're obedient to respond in your tithes and offerings, if you'll stand to your feet, we're going to make that supernatural declaration, which is the word of God. And it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Make sure you put your connection cards in. Don't forget your connection cards. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button and you can get right along with us.
There's a miracle in this room with my name on it. There's a healing in this room and it's healed for me. There's a breakthrough in this room and it's got my name on it. I'm gonna put a praise on. There's a breakthrough in this room.
Praise the Lord. Right after service, Pastor Ron is going to be out in the foyer. That hole in the front. There we go. And she's going to be signing books. So I'm very excited. I actually was excited probably, oh my goodness, about 6 months ago. We were down in Florida, and I was in a store, and I had a little bit extra money. And I bought her a Mont Blanc writing instrument to sign with. And so she's using it for the very first time this morning. And if you don't know what a writing instrument is, you'll have to look that up. Amen. Do we have a connection card? Here we go. Stand right here, young man. Are you ready? Casey Doan. Very good. Bring that to her. Congratulations, Casey. And she signed it already. She's already signed it. See that? She was coming to buy one, and she forgot her money at home. And so she just borrowed money from your father. Don't give it back. Praise the Lord. Today I'm going to preach short, and that doesn't happen often. So we're praying in faith that it actually works. Amen. We've had a phenomenal year. Amen. This is the year of? I said, this is the year of. Do you know what 2017? 2017 is the year of. I already know. I can't tell you. It's going to be a phenomenal year in 2017. But this year, I want to finish it out with great strength because we don't have many weeks left in 2016. How many of you realize we don't have many Sundays left? Very few Sundays left, and I'm excited today of all the folks that are in the house of God. Some of you got up, were able to get up and get here because they changed the time. You know, we can prove that is when it goes the opposite way, it's a little empty. We hear the crickets in the back. But here we have folks that are filling the house of God. Why? Well, praise the Lord, we want you to make a habit of being in the house of the Lord. Turn to someone and say, make a habit of being in the house. This is something you want to establish in your children right now. You want to establish it for your own life, that you're going to be consistent to the household of faith. The year of kingdom seed, this whole year, we've been speaking about the power that everything we need is in the seed. Everything we need. You see, and what happens to many believers is they don't really ascertain this. They don't lay hold of this. They don't start living this. That every word out of your mouth is seed. Every word out of your mouth is seed. It's either life and or death. Every thought in your mind physically creates in your brain is seed. It is either life or death. Your time that you're spending is either life or death. You cannot sow to the flesh and think you're going to reap spiritual production. Everything we do is determined by the seed. Some of you are in financial issues. Why? Seed. Are you a tither? No. Well, then no wonder you have no harvest. We have got to learn the principles of seed time and harvest in every area of our life. And when we do, literally our life will come into order. How many of you hate chaos? Chaos is craziness. When life seems spinning out of order and all of a sudden you've lost control. Listen, God is in control, but the truth is that many times we create the chaos by not living the principles of seed time and harvest. So this year, we know that last. This the year of the kingdom. Seek ye first the... When we understand kingdom principles and apply them to this world, then we can supersede the very nature of this planet by living kingdom, glorified God's principles that will supersede everything this world has to offer. When we do not, then we have to live in what Paul made the declaration as a carnal Christian. What is a carnal Christian? Well, this is most of Christendom today. Most Christians are carnal. They live a little bit for God, enough to get them out of hell, enough to get them out of the lake of fire, but they do not live and have not separated themselves from the principles of this world. We have been saved enough not to go into the lake of fire, but not saved enough to live kingdom principles. God wants to bring you into a new place. God wants to bring you into a new planet. God wants to bring you into a new lifestyle, and that is living kingdom. kingdom principles above the principles of this age. Because the age principle that we're in is about to change. No, you need to understand this. Whatever happens on Tuesday is going to change this nation. And if you are attached to the nation rather than the kingdom, then no matter who is brought into place, it is going to cause chaos. But as kingdom walkers, as kingdom believers, as kingdom children, it does not matter who gets into office, for God puts men in and God takes them out. But the ultimate will of God will come to fruition. There will be an antichrist. There will be an end time. There will be a great tribulation. There will be. And as believers, if you are living by walking by sight instead of walking by faith, then you are going to live in a world that is going to be dominated by chaos. And God has called us to live in the principles of the kingdom. Therefore, we can never be overcome by the chaos that this planet brings in. We can live in joy. We can live in peace. We can live in love. We can live according to the word and see God's kingdom come and his will be done. Can I hear an amen this morning? Today, I want to talk about KISS. I want to talk about how you and I, we all know that little statement, keep it simple. But we're not stupid. Turn to someone and say, you're not stupid. But I still want to cover the KISS rule. Keep it simple, saint. So many of us make God's kingdom and how to lay hold of the promises, how to lay hold of the principles as very difficult. Many of us have lived a lifestyle that is filled with religiosity, and today I want to slaughter some cows. I want to kill some religious cows in the kingdom today and bring back God's principles so that we can live according to who and what they are. Psalms chapter 1, verse 3, a verse for the year. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. That means when trouble comes your way, that means when a drought comes your way, that means when it gets difficult in your time, you don't need to wither up and fall in a ball and whine and complain, but you can stand there with your shoulders back and your head high and say, if God is for me, then who can be against me? And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Turn to someone and say, I believe in the prosperity gospel. Every one of you believe in the prosperity gospel, or else you're not going to prosper. You see, God wants you to increase. God wants you to prosper in your lifestyle. You know, there was a rumor going around that my wife and I live in a $1.3 million mansion on the lake. We still lived in big flats behind the fire department for 17 years. And we just moved to a new home, but I want you to know that it's not a $1.3 million house on the lake. But I'm still receiving that prophecy in the name of Jesus. Well, you know, pastors should be poor. Keep them poor, keep them humble. I want you to know that when you are blessed, that you have influence. And God wants to bring you to a level of influence in people's lives. And that means that God wants you to prosper. Psalms 145, verse 8 through 9. You see, I'm almost short. Hallelujah. The Lord is gracious. Shout, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Thank God for this one. Slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his work. One of the things that I have found in Christendom, that is, and even myself, a religious cow that I was brought up with, and that is that when you and I are asking God for something serious in our life, we step into begging mode. We step into a mode where we try to get real desperate and we try to convince God, if I pray longer, Lord, or if I fast more time, God, or Lord Jesus, if I say it so many times, and Lord, if I humble myself in the sight of the Lord, maybe I can convince you to bless me with what your word says. This is a process that is only going to bring you into frustration with God. I want you to know that God's kingdom has never worked on desperation. God's kingdom has never worked in the position where we are begging God. God's kingdom has never worked in the process where if you pray longer, you get more. Or if you're more holy, you get more. You see, I want you to know today that God can love you no more right now than he loved you when he died on the cross. You see, Jesus loves you with an uncompromising love. It cannot change. Now, you and I can live more holy, and that brings us into not more love of God, but in a better posture with God, for God blesses those who walk uprightly before him. But we must come to the understanding that God's love is yea and amen. You can't earn God's love. You'll never be good enough for God's love. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, and simply Jesus wants to love you. Why don't you turn to somebody next to you and say, Jesus loves you. Come on, tell somebody else you didn't look convinced. Jesus loves you. When we step into this begging mode, this desperation mode, we get out of the mind of Christ. I want to remind you that Jesus was our greatest example. Jesus was the one who showed us how to pray. In fact, the disciples asked Jesus how to pray. Jesus, how do we pray? He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That means we step into the presence of God and we start to worship him. Why? When you worship the Lord. Why? Because when you're in the presence of the Lord, the worship is automatically going to come out. And when you start to worship, the presence of the Lord is automatically going to come up and come down. He inhabits the praises of his people. You see, when we start to worship him, when trouble comes your way, when you need God to bring an answer to your life, it is not getting into the begging mode that moves God. It's you and I getting into his presence and loving on him, worshiping him, spending time with him. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's passion is to bring his will from heaven into your life. So what happens to many believers is we get to this place where we ask God for something. We need God to do something in our lives. And instead of just understanding how to acquire it, how to ascertain the promise, we sit back and we start begging him. We start trying to manipulate him. We start trying to convince him. God, if you do this, I know I'll do this. Lord, I'll know it's you if you show up here. Oh, God, I'll give up candy. Lord Jesus, I'll give up my cell phone for 3 days if you answer my prayer. I want you to know that's hard. God has never told us to beg. He's never told us to be in the position. God is not moved by your begging. See, this all gets back to not you and I understanding a formula, but understanding his nature. When we understand the nature of God, it changes how we ask. When we understand, now listen, when you and I were kids, in fact, I can just tell you from my own children, my children knew what to ask me, and they knew what to ask her. There were certain things they would not ask me because they would know the answer is simple. Nada. No. They knew there were certain things they could ask her that they would get no, but they would come to me. You see, you learn how to ask even as a child, as a husband and wife. You learn how to ask your spouse. Amen? Listen, if your husband is crabby, you're not walking up to him and say, hey, can I borrow $100? Your wife is going through a difficult time. You're not going to walk up and say, hey, baby, I was wondering if you could tie my shoes. She cut your legs off. We have learned how to ask, but we've learned by nature. And what's happened is when we get into the kingdom of God, many times we don't understand the same principle is in effect. We're not talking to a plastic God who has a little coin toss that we put a little coin in, twist a little dial, and something comes out. We're talking about our Father who art in heaven. We're talking about our Abba Father, our Daddy. We're talking about his nature. And you see, one thing that you find in that portion where Jesus taught them to pray, it was so simple. And it said this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You see, the very simplistic understanding of how to acquire from heaven, how to bring heaven to earth, how to bring the promise from what Jesus paid for into an act of relativity to your life is that you and I understand the will of God. So many of us do not understand the will of God, so we have to beg, we have to plead, we have to bargain, we have to try to convince. But when you know the will of God, when you know the nature of our Father, there is a process of stepping into that promise and saying, Father, I know who you are. I know how good you are. I know what you paid for. I know what you promised. And I know, God, that you are a good God. You're not a bad God. You're not a mean God. You're not trying to make me go through hoops. You love me with an everlasting love. You see, when we know the will of God, everything changes. 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Jesus, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we have asked for. You see, many people know a lot about God, but don't know God. We know enough, dear Jesus, come into my heart. And we're sincere. I mean, we're sincerely getting saved. But many believers, this is where their belief system ceases. This is why we've instituted step 1, 2, 3, and 4 at His Tabernacle Family Church. We don't want you just to get saved. We want you to grow up. We want you to know God. We don't want you just to know about God. We want you to know him. We want you to walk with him and talk with him like Adam and Eve did in the cool of the day. We want you to get up in the morning with the Holy Ghost singing a song in your heart. We want, when trouble comes your way, that the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. We want you to know him in a way that you don't have to go into beg mode, but you can go into faith mode and you can lay hold of the promises of God and call those things which are not as though they already are. We can live in the promises. We can live in the blessing. We can live in the love of God because we know our God. That's why some in the midst of the trial, they're okay. Why are they okay? Not because the trial's okay, not because the trouble is gone, but because they're living in a place, a state of being. They're living in the promises. They're living in the nature of their Father, the cleft of the rock. When everything seems to be shattering around them, they have that joy and peace that makes no sense to anybody else because they know their Father. God is calling you to know him. You see the verse we started talking about in Psalms 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. This is talking about his nature. This is talking about his personality. You see, I love the personality of Jesus. Here's a really cool thing for some of you who don't know how to read the Bible. You don't know how to study. I'm going to give you a cool thing that you can do. Start with the book of Matthew, and I want you to start reading all the red letter. That's the words of Jesus. And what I want you to study is I want you to study how he acted and reacted in every situation. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find who he is. You're going to find his personality. You're going to find his likes and his dislikes. You're going to find what moved him and what made him angry. You're going to find how Jesus interfaced with his disciples and even those that did not believe in him. You're going to find how he works, how he thinks. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. When you start studying this way, and you see, I did this in Bible school. I literally wrote out almost the entire entire Gospels, and I used red pen for red letter, and my study was, how did Jesus act and react in every situation? I want to know him, not just know about him. John chapter 17, verse 3, and this is eternal life, that you'll know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. When we know God, our prayer life changes. When we know God, how we ask changes. When we know God, there is a confidence level that no man can shake, no trouble can grab a hold of. You can learn how to stand firm in your faith and not be moved by any wind or tossing. You can stand and know that your God is good, that your God is gracious, that your God is compassionate, and that is just simply who he is. You see, the word gracious there simply means kind. So many people have such a warped mentality of God. I started writing a book about 15 years ago. I almost have a page done. And it was, don't blame God. Because God gets blamed by the religious folks by so many things that he has nothing to do with. It's like, God killed my baby. God killed this so-and-so. God did this. God did that. And God always gets blamed for the bad thing. But I want you to know that the devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy, not Jesus Christ. He came that you might have life and life more abundant. You see, every single person has the opportunity to know him, not just know about him, but to look into his eyes, to have a relationship with him. And when you know God, how you pray, how you lay hold of the promises of the kingdom are so different. Your Father in heaven is a kind God. He is a loving God. He is a God that won't give you a stone when you ask for a piece of fish or bread. He'll take good care of you. So many don't understand that. So what they have to do is they have to try to survive on their own. They come to church on Sunday. I'm not saying that you don't love God. You do love God. But you don't trust God. You see, you can't trust somebody you don't know. The word faith and trust are synonymous. When you know God, you have faith in God. When you know God, then the promises are not just words written on a piece of paper that were penned over 2,000 years ago, but they're words that are rhema words. They're living words, and they come alive to you. Why? Because you know the one who's backing the words. It's not knowing about him. It's actually knowing him, and your God is kind. Your God's not going to hurt you. Your God's not going to destroy you. Your God's not going to convince you and put you in a position of compromise. He loves you. The Lord is gracious and full, if I shall full. Full of compassion. What is compassion? It's the same word as mercy. But there's a different thing here. You ever walk up to somebody and they say, you tell them something's going on in your life, and they go, oh, that's so sad. You know, I just want you to know that, you know, I feel for you. That's called empathy, or excuse me, sympathy. I don't need sympathy. God is not a God of sympathy. God is not going to placate you. God is not going to sit down and try to pat you on the top of the head and say, it's all going to be okay. God is a God of compassion, which means there's action. He is full of action. He is full of the supernatural to trump your natural. He is full of the power of heaven to change what you're staring at that seems to overwhelm you, to make it something that was not, that it would be, that would bring glory to God. You see, God wants to trump things, but if we don't know him, then we don't trust him. If we don't trust him, then we go into beg mode. The moment you go into beg mode, you know you're out of the mode of heaven. You never saw Jesus beg God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Father God. Just Jesus now. Oh, Father God, I'm going to pray for these blind people. I hope it works. Lord, I speak to these blind people. Now, listen, if it don't work, don't say anything out loud. In the name. Jesus, when he prayed, there was a confidence inside of him. What was the confidence? Because he knew this, how God sent Jesus of Nazareth and anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. And Jesus went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. You see, Jesus knew that when he started moving in compassion, God's love demands action. God's love demands. It is not something that you have to wonder. It's not something you have to hope for. But when God starts showing you his compassion, when God, who is full of compassion, starts working in your life, you'll know there's always action that will manifest from the supernatural to the natural. You don't have to wonder if God's going to come. For if it's God's will, you can have this confidence that if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you and the answer is on its way. It's time to start living in the mercy of God, in the compassion of God, in the passion of his love, knowing that he longs to release his will in my life. Turn to somebody and say, God longs. Come on, tell somebody, God longs to release his will in your life. You see, that's different from a lot of believers. A lot of believers don't believe that. They've grown up this religious way. Well, you know, if you step 3 inches out of the will of God, schwack, God's going to crush you. Here's one. Ready? Don't ask for the Lord to humble you. He'll wipe you out. That is so bogus. For the word says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You see, God doesn't need to humble us. In our own stupidity and our own pride, pride comes before a fall. We'll automatically fall when we live in pride. But God says, if you want to be wise, humble yourself in my presence. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and I will lift you up. We have so many religious cows and asking God to move in our lives. So many of us have these cows, and it's time to slaughter them. It's time to get back to understand. God longs to release blessing and prosperity in your life. He's not keeping you back. He's not trying to hold you back unless you're in sin. Why did it get so quiet right there? You see, every one of us, God will love us no more or no less. But our obedience activates the power of God to be released. I can prove it to you. You do it with your own children. Go clean your room. No. What'd you say? No, I'm not cleaning my room. You clean my room. You're my mother. Hair goes up on the back of your head. Smoke comes out your nose. You look at the child and say, I told you to go clean that room. I told you I'm not cleaning the room, and I don't care what you do. Whew. There's an old program, wait till your father gets, until your father gets, wait till your father gets home. I remember that one. I used to get my fanny warm pretty good. But every one of us in the natural recognize that if as a child you didn't obey, mom didn't take you out for ice cream that night. And if she did, she's crazy. Because she just solidified that it's okay to live in a life of disobedience. We live in a world today that doesn't teach us how to live in obedience. Everybody's got the free skate. Listen, life of obedience, there is no democracy in the kingdom of God. It's God's way or no way. We obey him or we disobey him. We walk in obedience, and when we do, listen, either way, God can't love you any more or any less. But if you want to live in the prosperity and be that tree that's planted by the water, that when the hard times come, you don't wither up and die. You want to be a person that lives and prospers in everything you do. That means we have got to live a life of obedience before the Lord. Can I hear an amen? You see, Jesus lived this compassion thing. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. And Jesus said, when I come out, I saw a multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Notice this. Whenever Jesus has compassion, there's movement. Mark chapter 1, verse 41. Then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched this man who was a leper. And he said, I am willing, be cleansed. Jesus, when he was moved with compassion, he healed the leper. Jesus, when he was moved with compassion, he taught them principles of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. And when Jesus went out and saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion for them and healed all their sick. Luke chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And when the Lord saw her, Jesus had compassion on her and said, "Don't weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood up. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." Didn't Jesus say, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father"? So every time Jesus came into a situation that was real, let's be honest, we all have real situations in our life that are uncomfortable. Can I hear an amen or oh my? We all have things we need God to show up with. It doesn't do any good to have anybody of the flesh help us. Only God can show up and help us. Only God's got the answer for us. You see, and I want you to see this morning that you don't need to convince him. You don't need to twist him. You don't need to get him to a place where you say, "I'm going to do this if you do this." No, God just simply loves you. So much. He has so much compassion on you. He has so much love for you. For God is love, that he can't wait to bless you. He can't wait to pour out his love on you. He can't wait to prosper you. We've got to get rid of this religious mentality that God is trying to hold us back. God wants you blessed and not cursed. You see, and I see even now, even as I'm preaching this, you see, so many of you are struggling with this. Well, my life hasn't been blessed. I've had these hard times, and I didn't see God show up. But did you go? Listen now, and I'm not saying you don't have enough faith, but sometimes you don't have enough faith. If God's promises are yay and amen, and we are not going with the yay and amen, but we are vacillating in our belief system, then we cannot trust that he's going to bring what he's promised. Thank God he is a God of compassion. Can I hear an amen? Thank God he is a God of mercy. Can I hear an amen? Thank God he is a God of love. Can I hear an amen? That even in our stupidity and lack of understanding, he will take the time and teach us like he's doing this morning. You're not here for a religious experience. You are here to hear the word of God that will transform your life. That the next time you kneel down and pray, the next time trouble starts coming in your way, that you have an understanding that my God has compassion on me. My God loves me, and I will stand firm in the will and the purposes of heaven, and I will not be shaken. I'm going to put my faith in God who will move a mountain, for the Bible says that what I need is faith. Matthew 7:11, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask?" Psalms 84:11, the last part of the verse, "No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." You see, today God wants you blessed. Today God wants you to have peace. Today God wants you to have joy. Today God wants you to live a life that others will say, "I want the God that they serve." Even in the midst of the trouble, people will walk you, and you'll stand there in faith, you'll stand there in joy, and it makes no sense to anybody else, but you know the one who can calm the sea is sitting in the same boat, and he can say to the winds and the waves, "Be quiet," and God will still the storm. Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for surely I say, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." See, when you know it's part of the covenant, when you know it's part of the will of God, he longs to love you with passionate action. I want to let that sit for a second. That's a chewer. That's a tweetable one. He longs to love you with passionate action. That means when the trouble is troubling you, and you know the will of God is simple, yay and amen. You know the purposes of heaven. You know what the word of God declares. For his word, his will, is easily understandable because it's right here. Let's not get spooky. The will of God is simple.
I know God's will according to salvation. I know it's his will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I know God's will when it comes to deliverance, that God said that you shall cast out devils in my name. I know God's will when it comes to healing. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I know God's will when it comes to joy and peace and long suffering. I know God's will. Ah, so if I know God's will, I can expect him to love me passionately through action. When I call upon the name of the Lord, I shall be saved. Your faith demands action. Now, and again, I'm going to focus back. When my wife was ill, I was standing up on the altar, and the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to sow $100 for the healing of your wife. And I said, well, that's my last $100. And he said, I want you to sow the $100 for the healing of your wife. Now, I want you to know, you can't bribe God. This had nothing to do with me bribing God. But faith demands action. And he said to me, I want you to sow that $100, that last $100 that's in your wallet, I want you to sow that for the healing of your wife. Do you believe? I sowed that last $100. And you see, I sowed it for one reason. Faith demands action. I was praying for an individual and they were struggling with deep depression and anxiety. And they didn't go to church. I prayed for them and I know the power of God. I know that when I pray, God moves. How do I know that? I know my Father. I know the compassion. I know the passion of heaven. I know that when I declare these things which are not, they shall be. How do I know that? Because I know the will of God, and I can pray the will of God in faith. She left that day, and she wasn't set free. And I kept saying, now, listen, man, you got to keep coming to church. Well, you know, I really don't want to go to church. And I says, well, honey, the book of Hebrews is simple. Forsake not the assembling of yourself as a matter of some is, especially in the last days. You got to be obedient. Be in the house of God. God will deliver you just as you're sitting under the word. She has not come to church. Therefore, she will not be delivered. But where's the compassion of God? Faith means action. We must learn that when we activate heaven, God is not moved by your hope. God is not moved by your need. God is moved by faith. And faith demands the believing action of God. You see, when you believe that God is over there, you're going to walk over there. I posted this morning on Facebook. I said, how many of you would be in church if you knew Jesus was going to be here physically? I guarantee you there'd be so much, there would not be one chair left. They'd be in there. They'd be in the overflow over there. They'd be everywhere. They'd be squatting around the front of the altar. This place would be so packed, everybody would have to turn on the air conditioning in the middle of the winter. Why? Because people want to see it before they believe it. Where God's kingdom is, believe it before you see it. And when you believe it, you put actions to it, and it opens up the windows of heaven and pours forth the heavenly glory of God, that everything you need will be provided. You see, today, I don't come to you with religiosity. And, you know, one of the things that I struggle with, and every pastor struggles with, is I'll just share it with you. Boy, what do we got to do to impress more people to come? We've got probably 600 people that aren't going to be here today. How do we get them to come next week? Okay, Pastor Dan, let's call them three more times this week. Okay, let's get new lights. Okay, let's make sure the sound system is perfect. Okay, let's get the greeters out. Let's get more people in the parking lot. Okay, let's do all of these things to try to get people to come to church. Ooh. But you see, when you know your daddy, coming to church is just a byproduct of who you are, not of having to be convinced to try to get you in here. And so every week, you know, I have to preach a Grand Slam Holy Ghost woo sermon. I was standing up there this morning, and he says, "No, you don't." Jonathan Edwards read his sermon, and people jumped out of the second story just to get to the altar. There's got to be a hungering in the heart for the people. We got to want God more than we want this world. We've got to go after Jesus with all of our heart, our mind, our body, soul, and our strength. For he says, if you hunger, I will fill you. God, so filled with compassion and with mercy and with his love for you, you and I will know that whatever we want from God, he will bless us with according to his will. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to beg. We don't have to plead. We just have to step in faith. I know God said this, so therefore I receive it, Father. In the name of Jesus, I receive it and I thank you for it. We can live inside of the promises, yea and amen. But there comes a place. Please hear me. You can live in the authority of the Constitution and still not know the president. You can live inside of the promises of the Word of God and still not know God. You can still invoke the supernatural. How do I know that? For some will say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not do it? And they talked about all the miracles. Did we not prophesy? And you say, he said, I don't know you. God is calling a revelation to the church of Christ to come back to relationship with him, that we won't be carnal in our mentality. We'll not be carnal in our walks with him, but we'll live in the compassion. We'll live in the mercies of heaven. We'll walk the walk and talk the talk. We'll have the relationship with God that we will know him, that when he whispers, we will hear him. Yes, we have the Constitution. Yes, it's what we stand upon, but I want to know the Constitutor. I want to know him. I'm chasing him. Because I want God. What are you chasing? What are you chasing? And when you get it, will you get bit? Today, it's simple to receive from the Lord. Today, it's not a difficult thing to receive from God. He's good. He's a good, good father. I like that song. He's a good father. He's not going to withhold any good thing from you. He has compassion in every situation in your life. Not just sympathy. He has compassion. He's going to put action to it, supernatural. But the question is, do you know him? Or is it just rules? Is it living out of you and faith releasing out of you because of you knowing him? Or is it just the laws of the book? Can I ask you to join the journey? Let's chase God with all we got. Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you are the God of the Word. But God, more than just the God of the Word, you are the one who loves to love us with a passionate action. Jesus, today I ask in your name that the people of God will have revelation knowledge, not of religion, not of a church experience, but they'll know you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I don't got a religion for you to join. I don't got a church for you to join. But I got a Savior who loves you. Jesus is passionate for you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Some of you, man, you once served God with a fire in your bosom. Man, nobody could keep quiet. Nobody could shut you up. You couldn't wait to tell people about Christ. And now you have to drag yourself to church. You need to be revived. You're living in sin. You know you're living in sin. You've already accepted the Lord. And God is saying, walk uprightly before me. Know that the seeds you're sowing will only bring death and not life. It's time for repentance. Repentance means turning from one towards one. Today, if you do not know Christ or you're in a backslidden condition, you need to get your life right with God. I want you to slide your hand up right now. Come on now. I'd love to grab some of your hands for you. I would love to thrust them in the air for you. I'd love to, honestly, as your pastor, I'd love to run up and slap you in the head. Slap you straight in the head and say, wake up, man. You're on your way to death. But I can't do that. Because unless you want him, it really doesn't matter. I'm going to ask one more time. If you want to make your life right with the Lord, get your hand up. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, thank you, in the bag. 2, come on, get your hand up. Last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you very much, young lady. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. Today, if you have a situation in your life that is desperate for you, you know you need God. You know you need Jesus to show up on the scene. You need the compassion, the action of heaven to be released in your life. The prayer team's going to pray with you. If you raise your hand for salvation, young lady in the back, and anybody else who wants to meet, you can meet me right down here, right down front. I'd love to meet you personally. I'd love to pray with you and make sure that you know Christ as your Savior. Come on now. If you love the Lord, give God a shout this morning. Father, I just release the blessing of heaven in this room in Jesus' name. I declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Holy Spirit, only you can bring revelation. And when we hunger and thirst after Christ, I thank you that you're going to reveal the one who loves us more. You loved me first, Jesus, before I ever loved you. God, I just come against, Lord, the spirit of unforgiveness, bitterness, and strife. I bind that demon in Jesus' name, and I command it to loose the children of God right now. God, I thank you that you love us so much. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. The young lady who raised her hand, I'd like you to meet me right down here, right front. Grab the young man right beside you. Bring him with. We love you. Oh, I'm so proud of you, baby girl. Come on. Can you give her a hand clap? I'm so proud of you. You ain't proud, don't you?